Welcome to the Raisers Edge podcast, Raising Young Entrepreneurs. This is part two of a six-part series, and in studio with us today, we have Shanae Degovea. She's principal at Radley Primary. And last time, we were talking about fostering a growth mindset. Today, we're talking about something really important, which is financial literacy. Financial literacy, whether you are a young person or you are an entrepreneur, is incredibly important as a basic way to get through life and through business. And without that basic understanding of financial literacy, you are nowhere. Shanae?
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm quite excited to discuss this topic today. The importance of financial literacy for young children is very important, and it has a lasting impact on children as they turn into adults.
Okay, so how do I go about this? How do I think about this?
So first of all, think about financial literacy as a gateway for the children to have positive financial experiences as they grow older. So habits are formed early on in life. Mm-hmm. And if you as parents are having a negative financial experience, it's likely that your child is going to have the same experience. So despite your financial situation.
You mean at that time? When you say they're going to have that same financial experience, you mean they'll experience it as negative at that time,
yes.
Not when they are older, they are also going to have a negative financial experience.
It's likely to follow them into adulthood.
Okay, all right.
So the feelings around money, the mindset around money can either be fixed or growth. And so whatever experiences they have as a child, they're likely to take that with them into being an adult.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what type of financial situation you as a parent are in at the moment, you need to try and expose them to financial literacy and the positive things about, you know, finance and money so that they can create these experiences for themselves as they grow older. So things like budgeting and saving should be a constant discussion within the household. So as they grow older, they tend to put these into practice as they go into adulthood. The other thing why it's so important is that it's not just about financial transactions and the words that they get exposed to, but it also teaches them important life skills like goal setting, time management, target setting, risk management, as well as critical thinking, decision making. So whenever they discuss the concepts of money, all these things are happening at the same time for, you know, an overall holistic development, not just about financial transactions.
Okay, I think you've covered that quite holistically. I get a deep understanding of why this is important. But where do we start? What are the key ideas or the key things I need to follow in order to ensure my kid grows up with financial literacy?
Yeah, so the three main concepts that children need to understand from a young age is savings, mm-hmm. budgeting, and earning money. Mm-hmm. A lot of children assume that money is endless because a lot of parents are now using bank cards and things like that. So they don't see the money physically arriving and physically being spent. It's just the swipe of a card.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is that you need to discuss the concepts of earning money and where does it come from?
Mm-hmm.
Parents are not just getting it out of the sky or, you know, out of the tree, like they used to say. They're actually earning the money by working and working hard. So they have to understand the concept of work and what it means and the different values of money that come in from the type of work that they do. A good example when you're explaining this to your child is that putting your washing into the washing basket is quick, it's easy, you're there, you do it, it takes, you know, not a lot of time. So the value of money, if you had to be doing that chore, would maybe be R5. Whereas if you have to go and pick up the dog poo in the garden, that's physical labor. You have to carry a spade, you have to bend, you have to pick up, you know, it's, so you might get a little bit of more money for completing that chore because there's a difference, you know, in picking up your laundry and picking up dog poo. So they need to understand that as well. And you can do that with basic chores at home and responsibilities.
So you're grading the work
yes.
for them, right?
Yes. And so for them, you need to understand that obviously different roles in different companies, different businesses, or even as an entrepreneur, the more effort you put in, the more likely you are going to receive a bigger reward.
Okay. So I'm going to fight you a little bit on this because, you know, I've got two young men now, they're in their teens, and my journey is not just about earning. So the first two, I agree with you, but my view is that it's earning to earn the money, right? It's then to make money, which is because of entrepreneurs make money. So there's a difference about working in a job and then making money. There's a difference between the two. And then once you've made your money, to learn how to invest, which is the third, the highest level, which might come later in their lives. But to understand the difference between earning it, making it, and investing it. And I remember at Vasti, one of my friends there, we were walking to a lecture, and he said, you know, he was saying, the difference between you and I is I'm going to actually earn way more money than you. And he paused there, and I felt quite offended. He says, but you're going to make more money than me. And he made that distinction in my head, which wasn't distinct in my mind at the time. And, you know, and that's stayed with me since Vasti days, that there's a fundamental difference between making money and earning money. And this is all about entrepreneurship. So how do you feel about, also from a financial literacy perspective, about the difference between those two?
So previously they were earning money with their normal tasks and responsibilities. But the effect of wanting more or wanting to make more, they go out and they attempt to find ways to bring in their money by themselves, like a lemonade stand.
Mm. I love the lemonade stand. It's so cliched, but it actually defines the difference between making money and earning money. Because the way that I understand it, with a lemonade stand, you've add a whole bunch of ingredients together, which is the lemons, the sugar, the water, labor. You combine it, and then you create lemonade. You give it a name. You have a place of distribution, and then you distribute it at a price. That's making money, right? Whereas if I came to you and said, here, Shane, here are some lemons, here's some water, here's some sugar, and here's a jug, you know.
It becomes a chore again.
It's a chore. There's no value added by you. You haven't transformed something into something else, or combination of inputs into something else, which is the making of money. And that distinction is very important between making money and earning money. Love it.
And then the next, the concept that is important is savings. So you need your young child, from as young as 3 years old, they are allowed to start being exposed to these concepts. And saving is, you know, the definition of saving has to be taught to them, that it's putting money aside for later use. And with that, they then realize the importance of saving and why it's important. So they have the discussion about, you know, we're saving for a trip, or in case we have an emergency, so emergency preparedness. Or it could be a lifelong goal just for financial security, because you never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. So the emergency preparedness is the car breaks down or the dog has to go to the vet. And these are the things that you don't budget for in your normal monthly budgets, but they do happen. So having those discussions with your child exposes them to saving and the importance of it and why they need to do it. Then the next thing is budgeting. Mm-hmm. So budgeting is a plan of how you're going to use your money. So they need to know where it's coming from, first of all. So you need to have that discussions that I'm an entrepreneur, this is my product, you know, money comes in, I'm not guaranteed to receive the same amount of money every month, but this is what I have to cover every month, so this is how much I need.
But how do you practicalize that for a kid who's 10?
Tuck shop money.
Uh-huh.
You sit them down and you say you are receiving 10 rand for tuck. Before you get there, maybe plan what you're going to buy. You know the chips are 8 rand, you know. So you teach them that concept by giving them practical examples of how to budget and how to plan how they're going to use their money.
Okay. So let's just also go back and practicalize all these things. So we've just practicalized the budgeting, but the saving. So what do I show them, their balance every month, or do they have to show me their balance?
So for young children, it's a really difficult concept if you are referring to a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what that is. They need a physical representation of the money, and they need to be able to touch it and feel it. So, you know, in the good old days, we used to have piggy banks. So you get them a jar, let them decorate it. They must take ownership of it. And they can physically start to see money going in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they can keep counting it. And then they can see when the money starts to drop. So there's that income expenses, you know, and you use that vocabulary with them as they spend. And then it's also nice for them to have a journal where they track the amount. So obviously from young, you need to sit with them and you need to help them. And then as soon as they take out a 2 rand for that little sucker that they want at school, they must write it down that they've taken.
So that jar's their bank.
Yes.
And they're filling that bank with the money they earn from chores plus what you might be putting in.
Or gifts. You know, a lot of children get money from gifts
from birthday parties. Grannies.
So it could be the gifts that they're getting as money, it could be the allowance, it could be, you know, maybe the money that they've made now with the lemonade stand.
Yeah.
So it's, all the income that they receive. Could even be just the 2 rand that they found lying around on the kitchen counter.
Mm.
From the ages of 3 to 6, it's more of a role play, practical fun games and experiences like that. But when they get to 6 to 8 year olds, that's when you can start to have the discussion of needs versus wants. It's a very important conversation to have with your child, because you go into a shop and what do? They want, they want, they want.
Yes.
So that's important, where you have that distinction between needs, what we really need, and what is nice to have and what we want to have.
Yes.
So they need to understand that concept. And basic banking details, receiving, giving, or spending, you know, basic.
Right. How do we practicalize needs and wants?
Mm. So basically, you explain to your child that a need is something that we have to have.
Yeah, but that's the explaining.
We can't.
I don't want the explaining part. Like, do you, yes, that's teaching. How do I practicalize it? This is what, like, you need to do this. You want to do that. Like, what is the exercise that I take them through?
So, after your discussion and explanation, it's important to continue to bring it up in your day-to-day situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, arriving at home, that's a need. You need to have a home or a shelter. So you can say, this is something that we need. Yes, we may want to live in a bigger, better house, but we have what we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working towards something that we may want.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if you want the latest PlayStation, can you live without it? Yeah. So it's just
those day-to-day. But all my friends have got it.
Yeah. It's just those day-to-day conversations.
No, this is seriously. But all my friends have got it.
Yeah. So you link it up to what they've learned now about budgeting and saving. And you say, all right, if that's what you really want, how are you going to make the money? You know what you get with your allowances and your chores. If you don't have enough, what are you going to do to make that extra money on your behalf? So you keep just, it's the day-to-day conversations, discussions, saving, budgeting, how you're going to earn money, how you're going to make money, and you keep bringing that into the practical discussions that you have.
So what else do you have for us?
So from 12 upwards, it's basically now exposure to bank accounts, internet banking, mobile apps, explaining, you know, how the money system works and transaction works and electronically transferring money. And then you can open up their own little bank accounts, a savings account, and that's when you can start to transition to the more complex concepts.
Okay.
Another practical tip for parents is to lead by example. So it's important that they see you budgeting and they see you planning, and so then they start to practice the same habits. It's important to have financial discussions with your child. A great example is when you go to the supermarkets, you know, after school and you need to stop in to get your bread, your milk, your normal groceries. You set a limit and you tell your child, listen, we only budgeted 140 rand or 200 rand to get this and this and this. We have a list. This is what we're getting. This is what we've budgeted for. And it will help parents because the children know that this is how much, if there's any extra, maybe I can get that sweet, you know, but I'm not going to ask because we never planned for this.
Mm.
So it's a good way of stopping your child from nagging you for something in the shop, especially when they're young, because they think it's easy. It's an endless supply of just wanting and getting.
So I really like the shopping example and what I used to do, because I actually do the shopping, the grocery shopping at home, and because I enjoy it, I actually do enjoy it. And I would take my boys as young boys to the shop, and I'd say to them, okay, let's choose. If there was a choice between three different types of pasta, so let's choose between the three. And how did they choose between the three? How did the one kid always used to just go for the most expensive, right? The other kid just liked the one with the color, whatever the brand said.
Mm.
And then you'd have a discussion as to why they chose that. And is there a difference between this pasta and that pasta? And is it worth it?
Mm.
So you're trying to, so using the actual shopping experience to teach them about the difference in price, difference in brands. And, you know, when you go to a supermarket with a no-name brand, you know, getting that concept across as to that you're paying additional money for brands, and then saying, do you know that this product is actually this product just in a different box? Mm. Why would you pay more for it? And getting them to understand that. So also using the supermarket experience as understanding value.
Yes, yeah. The supermarket experience is one of my favorite because they're often around and they often want to, you know, just take what they want, and then you need to explain the difference between these bananas are exactly the same as these bananas, but these are yellow, these are slightly green. You know, it's those conversations that you have. Another important thing is to always plan your shopping beforehand. So you have a list and you stick to that list because that's budgeting for what you're going to get.
Yes.
And meal planning. I know it sounds, you know, silly, and a lot of us don't have time to actually plan. We wake up the next day and we think, oh gosh, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? But planning your meals for the month and buying in bulk, explaining that concept to the child, that buying in bulk is going to save you money than going to the shops every single day after school or work to go and get what you need for dinner that night.
And you can show that also in the supermarket experience with a big box of something and a small box, and saying, well, how much does it cost per 100 grams? And showing the difference in just not necessarily big bulk in meat.
Yeah, well, toilet paper is a good example.
Yeah.
The pack of 24 or the pack of 6.
Yes.
And you work it out per unit, and you realize that the pack of 24 is going to save you money than the pack of 6.
It's a great opportunity, learning opportunity just in the supermarket, to create financial literacy.
Yes, yeah. And then another thing is just as a family, when you're doing your monthly budget, to share that with your child. So you sit down as a family and you discuss your budget together. So they need to know that you're paying school fees.
Mm.
They need to know the water and lights account when it comes. You need to sit with them and say, look how much we've spent and how can we, you know, work on this to improve it. Mm. They need to know if you're paying your rent or your bond and how much that costs. They need to hear these conversations, because a lot of adults, when they enter the real world, they don't actually realize how expensive it is to survive or to live just a normal basic life. So these conversations, and then the young children will start to realize, sure, life is expensive, you know, and with the money that we get, we need to budget and we need to save what we can for financial security.
Well, Shanae, it seems like there's great opportunity both in the household, in the conversations we have with our kids, and in the supermarket to explain the premise of financial literacy and the concepts around financial literacy. And it's incredibly important, because the whole thing here is that we are trying to create a marinade in which kids grow up that makes them more likely to become entrepreneurial. And if they have the basic language of entrepreneurship, which is financial literacy, then they're far more likely to be successful entrepreneurs. Well, there are some very practical tips on how to ensure that your kid grows up with a better chance of financial literacy, making them more likely to become successful entrepreneurs. This was part two of our six-part podcast. Next time, we are going to be talking about networking and relationship building. See you then.